As we tackle this, and if you don't catch the beginning, it won't help. But as we do so, if you just think of every human being born in the great sea of life, the great ocean, and as they are brought into the existence on this great ocean, they are on a piece of driftwood that is rotting. And they're out there. Now, when you're out there, and you're out there a little while, and you've been there a little while in the ocean, what are you going to be aware of? Well, if I don't hang on to this piece of driftwood, there's nothing to hang on to, except to sink in the ocean. So we tend to hang on to that piece of driftwood rather strongly, understandably. We're holding that piece of driftwood, and we aren't about to let go. Now, say that simply. One's personal life is very precious to them, and they do not want to jeopardize it in any way. True? They don't want to, it's your life. Pain, heartache, headache, we don't want to jeopardize it. Now, hang on. Now, I'm going to give you this. You got that part? We don't want to let go. Now, what do we know? You all know, as we grow, about physical life. We know about our earthly existence. No question. When it comes to our spiritual existence, we really don't know that. That's sort of alien, foreign, our spiritual existence. And therefore, we are hanging on to our driftwood, and we are not having too much encouragement as we proceed down the corridor of time with sickness, disease, and death, and everything else, wars and rumors of wars. As we go down the corridor, we aren't too encouraged as we proceed, even though we hang on, and we do so. We do not have a sense of spiritual life, and we can't, unless we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're born again. You can't do that. Now, the other part of the problem, we don't have a sense of spiritual death. We don't know what spiritual death is. And we don't know what spiritual life is. We know life is God in Christ. We got that terminology. But to have the understanding of that, that requires, like we try to bang away today in that, and remind ourselves what that involves a little bit. A pardon, forgiveness, and all of that. On the other hand, we don't have a sense of spiritual death. And that's what I want you to look at. Ephesians. I'm just going to do a very quick, there's a whole lots of pieces. I only can give you a handful of them. Just enough to stimulate the thinking properly in a way that we don't want to do. We do not want to do it. I guarantee it. Now, so we know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Genesis 2:17, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Hebrew, surely you are going to die. In dying, you're going to die. You're going to die physically. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to face a second death. All of that is in that term, phrase. Now, having said that, what do we know about all humans? They are now spiritually dead. We're alive physically, planet Earth, we're very earthbound on our driftwood. But when it comes to being spiritually, we don't have that. We don't have it. It's there because we're already facing physical death and we are experiencing spiritual death. Spiritual death is the absence of God. Spiritual death. Therefore, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I'm going to read verse 5. And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ by grace, are you saved. So, God, we're spiritually dead, and there's no question. So, spiritually dead means we have no connection to God. While you're here, turn the pages, because God's going to help us. Ephesians and chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. That's the state of a human being out in the driftwood, in the ocean, hanging on for dear life, hanging on to keep going. Now, having said that little bit in verse 12, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up the thought again, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk no more as other Gentiles, which you did, used to, walk as they walk in the vanity of their mind. The empty, it isn't going anywhere. They're living ignorant of spiritual life and spiritual death. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So therefore, they are on planet Earth. They have no hope. They have no sense of really God understanding. And they have no sense of the life of God at all. And there they are on planet Earth. Now, and we know without turning all those things, Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful and is deceitful and above all things and is desperately wicked, is incurably sick. And we know that. So now, we've got that, the heart, that there's no other way. We don't have any other replacement. We look at all the other guys out here, and they're on driftwood, different kind, different color, different everything, religions and everything, philosophies, governments, politics. They're out there on all of these different things. That's what they're doing. And they're resting out there. And we look at them, they're all in the same place. It's just different. Different, that's all. They all live and die. And they're out there hanging on to whatever it is. Now, having said that, and therefore we know that Christ has gone in his wonderful grace and died. Over to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, you will note verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is that? They're already condemned, judged, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, and that's the only sin that keeps us out of business. So therefore, God, they're already condemned. Verse 36, add to it, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, N-O-T, the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So he's already condemned, and the human heart out in that driftwood is condemned already, and the wrath of God is on top of them. That's the state, a state of death, and that's their outlook for the future. Now, in the light of that, Christ died and rose again in his most wonderful way to bring us, to restore unto us the original purpose, God, for us to be in his image and likeness, to be able to reflect God, to know God, enjoy God, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind as his body, etc. Now, if you would, we shared together in Romans 1:11 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish people rejected him, etc. They left him out. So they had no sense of spiritual life. They had no sense of spiritual death. Now, in the process of all of that, and we shared together in John 8 and 24, we share together that the Lord Jesus Christ said, rather directly and simply, you will die in your sins if you don't believe me. Clear, simple, you're going to die in your sins. If you don't turn to something else besides this driftwood, you are dead. And you're going to stay dead. Now, what does it mean to stay dead? Now, so therefore, in the light of that, over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew in chapter 11. We want some more information, of lots of information. Matthew chapter 11, may I pick up, please, in verse 20. The Lord Jesus has changed now. Remember, he's reaching to the Jews. The Jews are rejecting him. He turns around to the whosoevers. Now, we have that in John chapter 1, 10, 11, and 12. He came unto his own, received him not. He turned to whosoever. What are you doing in Matthew? What are you saying? I came to the Jews. The Jews rejected me. I turn around, chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, now verse 20, the context leading up to that. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Why? Because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works were done in you, had been done, in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And if thou, Capernaum, thou art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Verse 24. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable in the land of Sodom than in the day of judgment than for you. All kinds of variation. Here's a Sodomite, and here's a Capernaum. They had the witness of Jesus. They had information. They did not believe. It'll be more comfortable in the lake of fire for the people that have been in Sodom. They're all in Sodom. But it'll be more comfortable for Sodomites than for those other people. Degrees of punishment. And hang on to that. That'll help you. You need to understand. That's why this, we don't want to talk about, no, hang on, I got to keep going. Now, therefore, chapter 10. And in chapter 10, remember, they're going out, the mission two by two and all of that. Verse 13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. In other words, you say peace, Jerusalem, shalom. And if they say, get out of here, then you leave them. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house, when you depart, or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. They had all kinds of opportunity. Negative. They're going to pay off. It's not going to be good. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and in the light of that, remember all the works of the flesh, that's what we have, and the works of our flesh, we go by them, we live with them, that's what I do. Now, how do you judge, how do you handle judgment? God, you're going to judge them based on the works, based on what they had. Now, you aren't going to judge them on their sins because you forgave their sins. What are you going to judge them on? I'm going to judge them on the life they lived, knowing that I died on the cross, knowing that they have rejected me, they live a life without me, I'm going to judge them on that. Revelation and chapter 20. Revelation and chapter 20. And you know, I say that, I'm trying not to say that all the time. Because by the time you know, you're going to know everything. And what is there to know since you know everything? Now, Revelation chapter 20. And picking up, if I may, in verse 10. And the devil, this is the great white throne judgment. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In great distress, that's what they're going to be. In great distress, day and night, day and night. That's what they're going to be. Now, having said that, they're going to be judged. And, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on that white throne, on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And those things which are written in the books are according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. His works. Now, and just in case we never get back to it, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. I'm going to terminate. There's no new heavens and a new earth. I'm going to terminate. And death and hell, I'm going to bring the whole package together for an eternal conclusion. And death and hell and everyone in it, that's where they're going to be forever. I'm ended. No more. Now, in the light of that little bit, the works are going to judge them. Uh-huh. Their works are. And chapter 14. And the works, now that's true for the unsaved, but it is also true for us. And verse 13 in that, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, they're saved, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I'm going to reward them according to their works. I'm going to judge the people in the great white throne based on their life here on planet Earth, and they left me out. And I'm going to take that life, and I'm going to take that life, and I'm going to judge it based on their works. It's more tolerable for Sodom than for the people that had the advantage to know my wonderful grace and working, and they refused it. More tolerable. Now, so therefore, and you know, for us, you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know that God is the foundation on which we rest, and gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, and God is going to judge every believer according to their what? According to their works. According to their works. They're saved. We aren't talking about being saved. We're talking about the result. What are we doing? God, here we are on earth, the unsaved are going to be, it's going to come up there, register, and they're going to live the rest of the way. Here are believers. And God is going to judge us based on our works. And we know what? Well, we know that we can have wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, or we'll be saved as by fire. Because you aren't saved by works, you're saved by God's grace. So you're going to be there, in there, and you just aren't going to have. You could have had. But you said, I'm a believer, I've been a believer 20 years, I've been a believer 10 years, whatever, 40 years. Wonderful. I'm going to judge you then. What kind of a believer have you become in 40 years? I'm going to judge you on it. But know what? You're going to be saved anyway, because you're not saved by your works. You're saved by God's grace. Now, hang on. So, in the light of that, in the light of the works, in the light of all of those wonderful things, God, here we are. Now, keeping in mind, while we do that, I should do that. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. That was 1 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians. Again, in the great, right, famous seat of Christ, the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just to remind us again, so there's no question, chapter 5 and in verse 10. For we must all appear, this is for the believers, before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. So God, you're going to do it. I am. I am going to do it. So, well, that life's a picnic. No, it isn't. Are you aware of spiritual death and spiritual life? Oh, no. We're busy here. You got a job, retirement. I got this. I'm coming, going. Yay. Are you conscious? You're on a piece of driftwood. And it's going to terminate. Wow. Now, hang on. In the light of that. So therefore, we, God, are accountable to God. And accountable to God. And each one of us. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So now, we all have physical life, there's no question. We are waiting to our driftwood to terminate, where we drop into the ocean, as it were, and we die physically. And we die physically, and if we haven't been saved, we're dead spiritually now. And therefore, we face eternity. We face eternity without God. What is death? Death is the absence. Spiritual death is the absence of life, the absence of the life of God. What is spiritual death? It's without God. Without God. Without God. Now that's all right. Without God, we live without God. The whole 7 billion plus of us live more or less without God. No problem without God. No. We seem to manage all right and get along with everything, you know, and more or less. Now, but, and the angels are in the same place because remember, the hell is prepared, the lake of fire is prepared for whom? The devil and his angels. Why are we going to be there? Because we wouldn't accept, we wouldn't receive the pardon, we wouldn't get saved. Where's God going to put you in his love? He can't take you to heaven. And you refuse his pardon. You're left dead in sins. You're going to have to be with them. And what they face. Now, hang on to that again. Now, so therefore, what do they know? Is there any life? God's life. Any sense of God? Oh, not in a good way, no. Any sense of light? No, we live in darkness. Any sense of the awesome realities, any sense of the awesome realities of good and grace? No, none of that. Any sense of love? No love. No. So therefore, here we are. And what are we're talking. And now we're going to go and look. We don't want to go and think about that. We don't want to think about what it is to die without God, without being saved. We don't want to think about it, understandably. Now, keep in mind something else. Ezekiel, if you would, chapter 18. Ezekiel in chapter 18. And you will note, if I can, lovely, wonderful section. Chapter 18 and verse 4. Behold, God said, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every human being is mine. They don't belong to your mommy. They don't belong to your daddy. They don't belong to your husband. They don't belong to your wife. They belong to me. all other relationships disappear. True? On driftwood, all gone. What's the only one you got? To God. That's all you got. Okay, I got that. So now, God, here we are. All souls are yours. So we got that. People don't want to think about it. We think of our declaration. Created in the image of God created us. But who wants to read that in the light of evolution? Now, chapter 18, and when you're looking at verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all in the death, in that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? I don't want anyone to die in their sins. I died so they wouldn't die in their sins. I pardoned them so they wouldn't die in their sins. I forgave them so they wouldn't die in their sins. I have no pleasure in them dying. The death of the wicked, sliding on over, if you would, to verse 30. Chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For, verse 32, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. I'm not interested in people dying in their sins. I'm not interested in that. I hate that. But that's what they're going to do. They choose to do it now. And you know on the other side of the coin, if you were reading in Matthew, in Psalm 116, which you don't have to, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In contrast, I died to save them. Now, hang on. In the light of that, therefore, in looking to all of that, and remember now Revelation, they aren't going to repent. Revelation 9, 20, 21, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want to repent. They like the driftwood. They're hanging on to the driftwood. They have no sense. The devil has given them a lie, a false hope, a false movement that God isn't God and God isn't going to do and God isn't going to be fair and all of that, just like Ezekiel 18. Now, they're going to do that. And the world's going to go for it. They're going to get the mark of the beast and everything. Now, having said that little bit, over to Mark chapter 9. Mark in chapter 9. And just to begin to touch statements that are there, overwhelmingly there, but no one wants to think about them. Now, as I read these, I'm just picking up, I go all over the place. They're overwhelming. But I want you to ask yourself, now, God, how serious are you about saving us? That good question? He chose to die. In his holiness, he chose to die. In your place of mind, for God the Son, in his perfect humanity, to be separated from God in darkness, in death, in lostness. We can't imagine that. Now that tells you how serious God is about saving you. It cost him his son. So when God said, it cost me my son, I want you to know, when I tell you, my wrath rests upon you if you don't believe. The wrath of God abideth on you if you don't believe. If you think I'm playing a game out of this, I'm not playing a game. Do you understand? It cost me my son to save you. So now, Mark chapter 9, and in verse 48, we're going to read it. I'm going to pick up, I'm going to just get the point of it. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's the lake of fire. That's hell. where the worm never dies. Worms eat, but you are never consumed. You have to understand that. The worms would eat us all up like Herod. But in hell, they eat and they eat and they eat, and you're never consumed. Just that alone. Hang on, I haven't even started. You think, people think it's just hell, so what, go to hell? Boy, you better, the whole business better wake up. Now, if you would, over in chapter Matthew, if you would, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And in verse 24. I say unto you, it will be more tolerable, verse 24, for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, having said that, chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 20. 10 and 20. For it is not ye that speak, for the Spirit and your Father which speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh to you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would, in there, and sliding down, if I can, to verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he is the as his master and the servant of the Lord, they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more shall they call them of his household? So it's not a big thing. You're trying to witness, you're trying to share, and people just don't want to hear that. They don't want to understand that. And verse 28. Fear not them that are going to go after they persecute you. Fear not them which kill the body. They can do that. And they are not able to kill the soul, because the soul belongs to God. But rather, fear him, that's God, which is able to destroy, to bring to ruin, to bring to great loss, both soul and body in hell. Soul and body. You're going to have a resurrected body to live in hell, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Now, hang on to that. That's, wow. Over, if we're in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 12. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for Chorazin in that day. More tolerable. They're going to... Nothing ends. And just like you and I have the reality of physical life, at your death, you're going to have the reality of spiritual death. And all of this will become real to the unsaved. Do you understand that? I don't see that. Ah, you need to have spiritual death. Exit the driftwood. Now, having said that little bit, over in chapter 13. In chapter 13. And I'm going to say it all over again and again, chapter 13. And, in verse 42, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, etc. And here's verse 42. And cast them, I'll read verse 41, and the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather them out of his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, lawlessness, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, when does that end? It never ends. You are physically conscious all the days of your life of earth. You will be eternally conscious of death without God, forever. I don't know. I wouldn't mess around myself. But no one wants to think about these things. No one wants to talk about them. Nope. Verse 50. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, yea, Lord, I do. And in the process, God, you're going to judge the whole ball of wax. That's true. Now, over, if you would, in back over to do what? Without going, worm never dies. Fire never goes out. The fire never consumes you. You are fully, fully conscious of your earthly existence in an awesomely eternal way of being without God. If you could have that now, you would probably get saved in the twinkling of an eye. But we don't have that consciousness. What it is to be without God, you're dead. Dead. I don't understand it. You will. If you don't get saved, you will understand what spiritual death is. It's called the second death. It never ends. Never ends. And nothing changes. There's no hope. And whatever you got in your brain, in your head, you're going to live and have an existence. I can't explain it. I don't even want to explain it. And people don't want to get saved. Because why do I need to get saved? Well, it costs God dearly to die on the cross for your sin and mine. And God said, boy, if you think I'm playing a game when I died, you're wrong. Because I saved you from what? My wrath. I hate rejection. I hate rebellion. And if you think I'm going to let that go, boy, you got another thought coming. And we don't want to think about that. No, we don't want to do it. So now, over if you would, Acts chapter 10. And we didn't even touch the subject. I just wanted you to get to catch it. Catch it. It's something else. Chapter 10, verse 43. Remember, to him give all the prophets witness, over from Moses all the way down, prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sin. The word remission is the word forgiveness. And what if you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive forgiveness of sin. Or, the word remission, pardon, P-A-R-D-O-N, you will be pardoned. You will be forgiven. What's pardoned? You're being forgiven. If you would receive it. But if you won't receive him, where is your forgiveness? In the person of Jesus Christ. And you reject the forgiveness, you reject the pardon, you rejected the person. And it isn't a works, it isn't anything we do, it's a person, God himself. Now, over if you would quickly, in the light of that, over to chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and picking up the thought, if I may, we're looking at the word remission. I want you to see the word, forgiveness. If you believe, verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, Paul and them preaching, it preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. That's the word remission. Forgiveness of sin. He's the remission. He's the forgiveness. Over if you would, to chapter 26. What are you going to preach, Paul? Paul was given an assignment to bring the gospel. And in the process, he's going to do so. And picking up, please, in verse 18. To open the eyes, 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission. Only it's translated forgiveness. You're going to receive forgiveness of sin. and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in me. In me. So now, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given Paul the message, his assignment, and he's to preach remission of sin in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, in the light of that, you have to believe. God made wonderful promises, and if you don't believe them, and there's only one God, so there's no debate. People don't want to know that either, but they know it. Only one God, and only one. And here we are. We're here, real. God's real. Life is real. Death is real. Pain is real. Pleasure is real. Now, God, what do we need to do? Do you know, at the moment, I have to take some pills and stuff. Now, here's the pills and the different little things you do. And you take the pills. Now, what happens if I take the pills and I have them in my sitting there, and I look at them, and I tap them, and forget them? What good are the pills? If I don't take those pills, they're no good. If I don't receive Christ, it's no good. I got to take him as my Savior. If I don't do it, nothing's going to work. Now, do you know, would you tell me which red light, here's the person going down the corridor of time, which red light, think of street lights and stop lights, and going down the corridor of time, which red light will you come up against? God said, come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, what red light are you going to come up against? Aren't they all green? Aren't they all green? You can't find a red light. God says, come. And there are no red lights. None whatsoever. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. And you ought to be soberly encouraged a little bit. And we're all going to plunk along and out in the work and home and school, oblivious to the driftwood and your time on that piece of driftwood, the time in this body, driftwood, that's going to be put aside. And then you face God's awesome eternity. Wow. Real then. You don't want to wait for the reality. Think of our little study in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, think of that. God told you, in the latter days, you will surely understand what you're supposed to understand. And when you look at Jerusalem in ruins, you're going to know I meant what I said, and I already told you. I already told you there's weeping of gnashing of teeth, an eternal separation, and you'll never know my love or my light. All you will know is a life without me. And it will be real. There's no escape. There's no drugs. There's no drink. There's no friendship, no parties, no fellowship. It's real. And you face it 24 hours. Remember the blind man, the man down and told the, God help me tell the person above, Luke 16 or whatever, that not to come down to where we are. And there's no way to communicate in paradise, Sheol at this point, back then anyway. No way to do that. But it'll be more tolerable. It'll be more tolerable. Awesome. More tolerable if you would just turn to God and get saved, and you'll never have to face what I am down here. You'll never have to face this. If one came back, remember the prayer? If one came back from the dead and would tell people what it's like. But it isn't worked that way. No. Well, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved and to understand. And I hate to tell you, but everyone's going to go their merry way, and they aren't even going to think about it until the day they're laying in that bed and they're about to pass on to eternal life. Then you'll know. What an awesome time. I've been that, you know. People have pain. I said, why didn't you trust God when you were healthy? Because now, here you are in great pain, dying, and you need to turn to God and get saved. You can do it. But you know what? You won't do it. Because you're going to try to do something you haven't done all your life. And it's, unfortunately, many times, too late. It's never too late. But it can be too late. You should have been doing it now. You should have been thinking now. Anyway, I've got to quit. Appreciate it.